97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the college football playoff picture. Our guest, Chris James. He's an analyst with College Football Game Plan and a member of the Football Writers Association of America. We're chatting with him from Tampa, Florida, my old stomping grounds, Chris. So the playoff picture. According to SB Nation, and you tell me whether you concur with this or not, and why or why not, Clemson versus Miami, the winner is in. Do you see it that way?
With the way they have it structured, that's definitely the situation that's going to occur.
All right, so that one's pretty well set. You win that game, you're in the playoffs. Now, one that's interesting to me is Auburn versus Georgia. The folks at SB Nation seem to think that the winner of that one is in. Now, here's the question. Auburn, if Auburn wins, will have beaten Georgia twice when Georgia was number one and number six, and also beat Alabama when Alabama was number one, but will have two losses.
Yeah, and I'm a person who's of the mindset that losses, just like wins, have to be looked at from a resume standpoint. The two losses from Auburn, neither was a detrimental loss. Losing on the road to both Tigers and both Death Valleys, Clemson, who's number one currently by eight, and then losing to an LSU team that, in a rivalry game, really showed up in the second half by only four. Those are, I hate saying quality wins, but they're basically quality wins.
Okay, so a two-loss team can make it in if it's this kind of scenario.
Correct. It's a one-off scenario. It's not a normal one.
Okay, so what do you think some one-loss teams are going to have to say about that?
They'll have an argument, but the argument is always the following. It's very nuanced. Did you try your best to schedule competition that would actually push you, or did you try to schedule competition for teams that wouldn't? It looks like Auburn went out of conference to try to do so with a Clemson team that has won a national championship last year and the year prior played for a national championship. So they've done their due diligence, and that loss looks a lot better than some of the wins against the quote-unquote cupcake teams that some other teams have faced.
Okay, so then where does Alabama's argument fall into that? Yes, we have one loss, and yes, we won't be in the championship game at all, but we still have only one loss, and the one loss is to a pretty darn good Auburn team.
And that's a great question, and that's where this whole nuance gets in. Alabama, to me, is in the discussion not because of what they've done on the field this year, but because of the mystique. We know that that is a team that is built to play in these playoff scenarios. They have one of the best coaches of all time. They're generally a team that is ranked in the final poll in the top five almost every year. So they're getting that play. When you look at what they've done this season, they have not been the normal, impressive Alabama team we're used to seeing. And if the jersey didn't say Alabama, they would give less credence to that team.
Okay, so let's go with what you've said so far. We have Clemson or Miami, the winner of the ACC championship game. We have Auburn or Georgia, the winner of the SEC championship game. What about Oklahoma? If Oklahoma wins, Oklahoma's in?
I think Oklahoma has the strongest argument of any team if they win, they're in. Initially, when they lost, you know, they were a huge favorite in that game against Iowa State. But what we initially thought of Iowa State was wrong. They actually are a quality team that beat both Oklahoma and TCU. So now looking back at it, they went on the road and beat Ohio State at Ohio State. They've handled the competition when it faced them. And that one loss that they do have is probably the most explainable one of any of the teams that have an argument, period.
All right, but if Oklahoma loses to TCU, Oklahoma's out.
Absolutely, because at this stage, it's almost an addition to the college football playoff. Everyone is looking at it and saying, oh, we have the four teams. Well, these are play-in games in some respect. Oklahoma is in a stage where they need this play-in game to advance. The travesty that would move in front of us would be is if TCU beats them and then has zero consideration to even play in the playoff.
Okay. TCU has had zero consideration. Right.
At this stage, it seems like they don't. That's what the committee is pretty much put in front of us.
Yeah. All right. So Wisconsin. Wisconsin's an interesting case because as you walk through the weeks when the committee has ranked the teams, Wisconsin's always been sort of on the outside looking in, and people were saying Wisconsin went out and everything's going to be okay, and it looks like that's the case so far. But what if Wisconsin loses to Ohio State?
Wisconsin losing to Ohio State would put themselves actually in the exact same place as Alabama without the same football lineage. So it's unfortunate to say they've had not that impressive of a schedule, but what they've done is what we ask. They've remained perfect. If they do accrue a loss, they put themselves behind to me all the other major players with one loss simply because the schedule hasn't been there, and also they're not known as that national championship household name.
Yeah, that has been the knock on Wisconsin all along is strength of schedule. That's a bit of a knock, I'm hearing from some people, about Alabama.
Absolutely. Again, to me, I don't believe Alabama would have the credit that's being afforded to them if it wasn't for what they've done in the past and the name on the jersey.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Chris James of College Football Game Plan about the college football playoff picture. All right, so Chris, let's assume that things go according to seeding. We would have Clemson in by being the top seed, and then, of course, we would have Oklahoma would be in the mix. Wisconsin, if Wisconsin wins, would be in there. And then, of course, the winner of the SEC championship game. Is that how you see it playing out?
It just feels that way right now. I do see it playing out that way. The committee has put it in front of us. And to be honest, I wouldn't be too upset if we got a one-loss Georgia team that, you know, played Notre Dame at Notre Dame or an Auburn team that looks to be hot. I wouldn't be upset if we got an Oklahoma team that, to me, has the best resume in the country of all the one-loss teams. I wouldn't be upset if either Clemson or Miami made it with the one loss because they've shown up in big games this year. And by no means would I be upset if an undefeated Wisconsin team made it. To me, all these teams would be deserving of consideration for those four spots.
All right, so you mentioned earlier that the Auburn situation is kind of a one-off deal because the thinking has always been two losses and you're out, period, because there would be so many other one-loss teams who would have a claim to that spot. So is this a flaw in the system?
It's not a flaw. They've actually put themselves in a position with the statement in the bylaw of unequivocally better team. So they can kind of eliminate this whole talk of, well, I won my conference championship or I have more losses than you. You know, precedent is something that didn't exist until it exists. In the BCS era, no two-loss team ever made it to the BCS game until 2007 with LSU because they felt it was warranted. Same thing applies here. If Auburn didn't have the outlook that they've had, meaning we knew it was a new quarterback, it took them time to get running, the question then becomes, would this current Auburn iteration have beaten LSU when they lost or beaten Clemson when they lost to them? I think most people believe they would have.
All right. So let's get to the 30,000-foot view. And it is this. Lots of folks are arguing, and really have from the beginning, but more so this year than ever, I think, that four teams, some deserving team, is going to get left out. Should we go to 8? What are your thoughts along those lines?
You know, progress is always a positive if it's warranted. We went to a system years ago called a BCS because there was a murkiness to how we were selecting the national champion. There was no dedicated game. It was almost as if the school that we liked just won it. So we did that system. Well, that system eventually broke itself in 2004 when we had 3 very deserving teams who were all undefeated and Auburn was left out. So that's when this whole thought process got kicked off about the possibility of a playoff. For me, we're only a couple of years in with this 4-teamer, and the main goal was to not let what happened to Auburn happen, which is a team from a major conference going undefeated and having zero chance to play for a national championship. This current system takes care of it. Now, as far as going to 8, that might eventually be a thing, but you have to take into consideration these are college athletes. They're student athletes. So I have to go to class. This is a very taxing game. So adding another game would definitely have physical tolls on them. And I'll stick in college and go with the NCAA men's tournament or even women's tournament, but focus on the men's right now. There's 68 teams that get in, and we still have shows that argue about the 69th, 70th, 71st, and 72nd team that didn't make it. So you're never going to have a system that pleases everyone and that is completely fair. The goal is to get in deserving teams that can win the national championship. And I think the 4-team playoff is accomplishing that.
All right. So let me argue the point, not that I care a whole lot one way or the other, but let me argue the point for an 8-team system. Well, first I'll argue against it. Bill Curry, former coach at Alabama, Georgia Tech, some other places, basically makes the argument that you made that, gosh, these guys are already overtaxed. The counter to that is, we're talking one more game for 2 teams who happen to make it all the way through if we get to an 8-team system. Is that, where do you fall on that argument?
I can go either way. For me, I do know the grind of that scenario. And that extra game, while it doesn't seem like a big deal to some, I mean, it's like being in a car accident for an extra time in a year. It can be very taxing. The other portion is, yes, there's another team playing another game. There's more fairness to it. It's just, I don't think we're at the stage where it's unequivocally been proven that this system that we currently have doesn't work at all. It hasn't failed anyone yet. Except maybe a team that is getting zero consideration that's playing extremely well. But I think we'll probably talk about that undefeated team a little bit later. So I fall either side is okay. I currently like to stick with the system as it is.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're with Chris James of Football Game Plan. Chris is based in Tampa, Florida. A town that's near and dear to my heart. And we're talking about the football playoff picture. So, Chris, let's get back to the argument of whether 4 teams is enough, because you have 5 power conferences. And almost assuredly, someone will get left out every year.
It just makes sense. Someone is going to get left out. There is a nightmare scenario where all 5 power conference teams go undefeated. What do you do with this 4-team system? They've been pretty lucky that that hasn't been the case as of yet.
So under the current system, that would create a major uproar if that particular scenario were to play out. You have 5 conference champions all undefeated. Upon what do you base who you're leaving out? It would have to be strength of schedule or something like that.
It would absolutely have to be. That would be a nightmare scenario, and it is probably the best argument for expansion. If you go into a deal with 5 people, it's almost like musical chairs. Go into a deal with 5 people and only 4 seats at the table, and it's like, wait a minute, why am I standing? So that's the biggest consideration as to why there would be expansion. Luckily for right now, we haven't even come close to that. I think 2 teams is the most defeated teams we've had in the system so far.
Okay. If I were going to argue for expansion, I would actually use a different argument, and it would be this. Under this system, there is no way that you can have the Cinderella team like we have in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. You can't have a Butler or somebody like that. This almost assures that it's only going to be Power 5 conference teams in the playoffs. So what do you do with a UCF that is undefeated and perhaps will remain undefeated after its conference championship because it's not a Power 5?
And that is a great question. And for me, if I was in the room, I would argue the case for UCF being ranked in the top 5 or 4 and having an opportunity because they've done what was asked of them. They've won every game and they've looked impressive in doing it. It hasn't been a sneak by scenario. I'm actually looking at the way that it's set up in the rankings. And if you had an 18 playoff, UCF still wouldn't be. I believe they're ranked 14th right now. Look, we know what drives a lot of things, and it's unfortunate to say. These young men are out there playing as hard as they can, but there's a reason it's called the Power Five. It's likely because those are the Power Five conferences that generate the power money. That leaves conferences like even the American, split off of the old Big East, in a conundrum where you can't do anything to actually get in there. You almost are told to be satisfied by being given the opportunity to play a team on a New Year's Six Bowl game because you're not deserving enough to win. But just recently, a Houston team beat Florida State, and it was pretty soundly. The score wasn't indicative of how much they actually dominated that game. So why wasn't a team that is undefeated like a UCF from the same conference given the opportunity to prove that they can be what Wisconsin or another team is?
So, yeah, let's carry that one step further. Let's say that that UCF wins its conference championship game, which I think most people expect will happen, goes against a Georgia or someone like that in a New Year's Day Bowl, wins that one convincingly, and then you look back and go, whoa, you know, this was the Cinderella of Cinderellas who had no chance of going to the ball.
Absolutely. And it's unfortunate. It just feels like even with expansion, they wouldn't be given the opportunity. We need to focus more on trying to get them to be given the opportunity. One of the teams that comes to mind is actually 2008, I believe it was. It was after Urban Meyer was out of Utah. That Utah team went undefeated, and not only did they go undefeated, they shell-shocked a Bama team that was formerly number one and were up 21-0, I believe, and ended up winning. And I think they were the only undefeated team in the country, and they still didn't get a first-place vote for the national championship.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's so compelling about the men's basketball tournament is you have those teams that come from small conferences. And, you know, you look at the movie Hoosiers, for example, you know, the small little rural team that beats the powerhouse, and people love that kind of story. And there, you won't see that kind of story in college football in the foreseeable future, even if we expand to 8 teams.
Absolutely. The only way that we could even have any level of fairness, and it still isn't completely fair, is we have to make a requirement, like they've made a concession, if you're ranked in the top whatever, you get to go to a New Year's Six game if you're a non-Power 5. Same thing needs to be given to UCF, where they can't rank them 14th because they think they're not good. They're undefeated. They would have to be in an 18 playoff, period. It wouldn't be any discussion. An undefeated team from a non-Power 5 conference has to make it into that tournament because we don't know if they're going to lose because they haven't.
All right, so in the final 30 seconds that we have, then if we were to go to 8, you would make that, if you were king for a day, you would make that one of the requirements, that undefeated teams, especially those who win convincingly, automatically make it to that tournament.
Absolutely, and then the other space or two, or most likely three, can be filled by whatever team that they feel is good enough to make that tournament.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Chris James. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.